Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a roughneck-style percussion layer in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple but powerful. Give your drum and bass track that crunchy, chopped, slightly unstable jungle edge without messing up the punch of the main kit. Think of this layer as attitude. It's the grime on the sleeve, the dust in the sampler, the little bit of danger that makes a clean break feel like it's been played in a sweaty basement with a busted MPC and a great sound system. We're not just throwing extra percussion on top. We're designing a supporting groove that reacts to the bassline, fills the gaps, and adds movement between the snare hits. And that matters a lot in jungle, old-school D&B, rollers, and darker halftime styles. If the main break and bass are solid but the percussion is flat, the whole track can feel one-dimensional. A good percussion layer gives you forward motion, tension, and that rough sampled character that says, yeah, this track has some history, so let's build it. First, choose source material with personality. You do not need a huge sample pack here. In fact, a few strong, characterful sounds are better. Go for short rim hits, dusty congas, metallic ticks, broken hat fragments, snare tails, or noisy break pieces with room tone. The important thing is that these sounds feel like fragments, not polished full loops. In a jungle context, chopped percussion works because it sounds like something was sampled, broken apart, and reassembled with intent. That's the vibe we want. Put your main break on its own track first, then create a new MIDI track for your texture layer. Now drop those samples into a drum rack. Keep it tight. 4 to 8 pads is plenty. You want this rack to feel like an instrument, not a random folder. A good starting setup is something like a woody hit, a metallic tick, a dusty tom or conga, a short shaker slice, and maybe one noise hit or a broken cymbal fragment. Once the samples are in place, program a simple MIDI clip. Don't think in terms of a full drum pattern. Think in terms of conversation. Your percussion layer should answer the kick and snare, not compete with them. Start with ghost hits before the snare, little syncopated notes after the snare, and the occasional doubled hit leading into a bar change. A really useful mindset here is phrase-based writing. Don't just loop the exact same thing for 8 bars. Shift something tiny every 2 or 4 bars. Move one ghost note, swap one hit, add one pickup. That keeps the groove feeling performed instead of copied and pasted. Velocity is everything. This style lives on contrast. Your main accents might sit around 90 to 110, while ghost notes can live way lower, around 25 to 60. Transitional hits can sit in the middle. If every hit is the same loudness, the groove gets stiff fast. Let the quiet notes whisper and the accents snap. If you want the groove to feel a bit more human, try a subtle groove from the groove pool. An MPC-style swing or a jazzier Ableton groove can work really well, but keep it light. Usually 10 to 30% is enough. You're not trying to turn the pattern into funk. You're just nudging it off the grid a little so it breathes. Now let's give the samples that crunchy sampler texture. Open each pad's simpler device and switch to classic mode. This is where the character really starts to show up. Trim the star tightly so the transient hit right away. Keep sustain off for one shots. If a sample is too shiny, low pass it a bit so it sits more like a sample and less like a pristine digital hit. A small pitch shift can also help. Detune some hits by a semitone or two in either direction. Don't overdo it. We're not trying to make everything melodic. We just want enough variation so repeated hits don't feel static. Now for the dirt. Add saturator after simpler on the pad chain or on the rack. A little drive goes a long way here. You want warmth, edge, and a bit of bite, not total destruction. Soft clip can help keep the peaks under control while adding that worn-in feel. If you want a more old-school, sampled, slightly trashed sound, add redux after saturator. Use it carefully. Just a little downsampling or bit reduction can make the percussion feel like it came off a dusty sampler or a worn tape loop. But if you push it too hard, you'll lose the transient and the whole thing can turn into noise. A good trick is to keep the nastier version on a parallel chain or as a blended layer underneath the cleaner sound. At this point, the percussion should already feel more alive. But now comes the really important part. Make it respond to the bass line. In D&B, especially in jungle and old-school styles, the percussion isn't just decorative. It should interact with the bass phrasing. If the bass line is a rolling one-bar phrase, place percussion hits just before bass changes, in the gaps after longer bass notes, or right before the turnaround at the end of the bar. If the bass line is more call and response, let the percussion answer the bass stab. That back and forth creates energy. And keep an eye on frequency space. If your bass has a strong low-mid presence, keep the percussion focused higher up, roughly in the 800 Hz to 6 kHz range. that gives you bite and movement without muddying the low end. The sub needs room to breathe. Always. A strong workflow move here is to make two versions of the pattern. One sparse version for the intro or early buildup, and one denser version for the drop. That way you can create arrangement movement without reinventing the groove every time. Next, route all the percussion tracks to a dedicated perc bus. This is where we glue the layer together. A solid chain is EQ8, drum bus, glue compressor, and maybe utility at the end if needed. Start with EQ8 and high pass the bus somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz. That keeps the layer out of the subzone. If there's any harshness in the upper mids, maybe around 3 to 6 kHz, shave a little off there too. Small moves are better than big ones. Then use drum bus for added punch and cohesion. A touch of drive, a bit of crunch, and just enough transient shaping to make the whole layer feel more like one instrument. After that, a glue compressor can help bind everything together. Keep it subtle. You're aiming for maybe 1 or 2 decibels of gain reduction. Not a crushed pump fest. If the layer feels too wide or facey, use utility to narrow it a little. Percussion can sound exciting in stereo, but in a club mix, too much width can weaken the center. Check mono often, especially if you've got noisy or crunchy layers. Now let's add movement. Static percussion gets boring fast. The easiest way to keep it alive is with micro-automation. Automate filter cutoff on simpler or auto-filter. Move saturator drive a little in key moments. Push reverb sends only on transition hits. Pan a few notes. Drop the volume of certain ghost note groups. A really effective old-school trick is to automate the perc bus filter during the build. You can high-pass it higher in the intro, then slowly open it before the drop. Or do the opposite and low-pass it a little in breakdown so the hits feel buried and lo-fi, then open it up when the groove returns. That little reveal can make the drop feel much bigger. You can also use subtle echo or delay on just a few transitional hits. Keep the feedback short and the wet amount low. You're looking for little punctuation marks, not a wash. One big issue in DNB percussion design is transient behavior. You want the hits to punch and then disappear. If the sample is too pokey, trim the start less aggressively or shape it with the envelope. If it rings too long, shorten the decay. If the layer keeps stepping on the snare, pull back the hits around the strong backbeats or make them much quieter. Or matters too. If you want more aggression, try saturator before drum bus. If you want tighter control, flip that order and let drum bus shape the hit before adding color. There's no single correct answer, but the general idea is to keep the percussion energetic without turning it into another lead drum sound. Once the groove is working, resample it. This is one of the best things you can do for arrangement and style. Record 4 to 8 bars of the percussion bus onto a new audio track. Then chop out the best bar, reverse one or two fragments, maybe pitch one transient slightly down, and use that as a fill or transition element. This is classic jungle thinking. It makes the track feel like it's constantly being reworked, not just looped. You can use the resampled version for a drop switch up, a phrase ending, or a little pre-drop sting. And that's really the bigger lesson here. Think in phrases, not loops. A roughneck percussion layer works when it evolves every 2 or 4 bars. Use contrast as your main tool. If the break is busy, keep the layer sparse. If the bass line is minimal, let the percussion do a little more of the talking. And always prioritize the snare lane. The snare is the anchor in the style. Your layer should enhance the pocket around it, not fight it. A few common mistakes to avoid. First, don't let the percussion carry too much low end. High pass it and keep the sub clean. Second, don't make every hit equally loud. That kills groove immediately. Third, don't overcrunch the sound until the transient disappears. Dirt is good, but clarity is what makes the dirt hit harder. Fourth, don't clutter the snare backbeat. If a hit is stepping on the snare, remove it or soften it. Fifth, don't spread everything too wide just because it sounds exciting in solo. Check mono, and keep the center strong. If you want to go harder, a parallel dirt chain is a great move. Duplicate the percussion bus. Crush one copy with saturator, redux, and EQ. Then blend it underneath the clean version. That gives you grit without sacrificing definition. You can also layer tiny Foley sounds or metallic ticks to make the percussion feel more underground. Keep them high-passed and tucked in so they add texture without adding clutter. For arrangement, there are a few really strong moves. Start an intro with only 1 or 2 filtered percussion elements. Then reveal the full layer later. Pull out the busiest parts 1 bar before the drop so the silence does some of the work. At the end of every 8 bars, swap a normal hit for a chopped mini roll or reverse fragment. And instead of always automating volume, try adding 1 extra ghost note every 4 bars to build energy. In DNB, density changes can be more effective than obvious level changes. If you want a quick practice challenge, build three versions of the same percussion idea. Make one clean support version, one mid-grit version with more saturation and a little sample reduction, and one worn-out sampler version with heavier resampling and more pitch varination. Keep the rhythm the same across all three, just change the sound design and processing. Then listen to them with your bass line and break and decide which one works best for the main drop, the build-up, and the transition.